John Blake.
Yeah.
You teach for 10 years in London, head of education at Policy Exchange. What would you, do you know what is the logic here of going from A star to G, which is kind of logical, to nine down to one? What's the thought process?
Well, I think that, I mean, the first point to make is that although you will end up with that hybrid system, if you haven't, then the very issues that sort of Tegan has raised of people feeling, oh, we're being thrown into this new curriculum immediately, would have happened with all of the qualifications. So actually, by only using English and maths in the first year, you've got qualifications that, yes, every student, every 16-year-old in the country sits, but you're also keeping the focus on those new reform qualifications rather than trying to change the whole system at once.
Okay.
So although you will end up with this hybridity for a number of years, for the next couple of years, I genuinely don't think it'll be a problem. And it's worth pointing out that you have a similar system post-16 anyway, where you have things like BTECs and A-levels and other qualifications. So it's not an entirely unfamiliar world. I think on the question of why it runs 9-1 rather than the other way around, I mean, there's a certain sense in which might be your own flavour of choice. The level system that used to operate through Key Stage 3, that is 11-14, ran from level 3 up to level 9. So it's not unfamiliar. But it also means that if standards continue to rise, as we would hope in the longer term they will, rather than at some point in the distant future having to add a one star, you can just add a 10, which makes a lot more sense.
That's the reason, is it? Because it's fine to say we'll start at 9 and go down to 1, we can get our heads around that. But the question is, really, what's wrong with the old system, A to U? You're saying this can just be added on... So it's Spinal Tap, we can turn it up to 11. We can keep going.
I mean, there's quite a lot that you'd have to do before you got to that point, and you have to see sustained evidence in what are called the national reference tests, which compare each year 11 cohort to the previous one to make sure that to check whether standards are rising or not. So there's quite a lot you'd have to do before you did that. But the main reason not to use A star to C for the new qualifications is because they are substantially different. They are more demanding, they have more content, and you want to be able to signal to people, no, I did this GCSE under this new rigorous system, not under the previous system. I think it would have been more confusing, even if superficially comforting in the first year, to have kept the same grading.
Yeah. So two things from that then. Were we on the verge of A star star then? Was that going to have to be the next step?
I'd heard that discussed in some of the meetings that I went to when I was still in teaching, and that seemed a faintly bizarre way forward until you just ended up with multiple stars at the end of it. So I think there was a concern about the need to differentiate at the top end. So, you know, we've got a lot of very able students in the country. How do we sort of identify who is doing the very strongest work? And the new system does make that slightly more straightforward.
I'm really interested to hear you say that you feel that these new exams, the one-off exams, are a little bit tougher and therefore implying that kind of the 9 or 8 or whatever as opposed to an A or a B is a badge of honour. Because that's the debate for years. I mean, I did O-levels back in 80 and I always think they're harder than coursework GCSEs and people always dispute that. So you are definitely saying now that these end-of-term one-off exams are a far tougher ordeal for kids than doing it over a year?
There is a definite impetus to make those exams. There is more content. Things have been moved from the foundation tier into the higher tier into the foundation tier for maths, for example. So things that once only the more able would need to know are now things that everyone needs to know. For English, the controlled assessment option has been abolished. They are undoubtedly more demanding. But the point to make is that is positive for students, not negative. Controlled assessment was a terrible system for students and for teachers. It took up vast amounts of time, had very little educational value, and the evidence was it was habitually overmarked.
We'll bring Suzanne in a sec, who's a former teacher as well. But just finally for now, from you, John, just for this second, what about employers? Because will they know that a 9 in maths is better than an A or an A star, for example?
I think there's... actually, I will commend Ofqual on this. I think Ofqual have done a huge amount of work to explain this to businesses and to parents. And even the recent polling where parents were saying they weren't 100% sure about the new system, 96% of those with children in year 10 and 11, 94% knew that the system was changing. And I think employers either are now or will very swiftly be aware of this.
But
and
what about, what
employ
about
people
the...
with HR to do this, to find out what it is that these qualifications mean. And as I say, they have to do this with A-level and other post-16 qualifications at the moment.
What about the poor kids, though, who got an A-star in maths and think, well, I only got what I could. I did as best as I could. I got the top mark. Yeah, but you're now saying if Tegan gets a 9 in maths, she can go to her mates from the year before and say, well, look, there you are, an employer's going to pick me over you.
I don't think that'll be the differentiating point, but the key thing is that that's why we changed the grading system, so that you would know that there was difference. So people who got the qualifications for them, and I did the GCSE system, I could only do, the grades were available there. Actually, I didn't get that many A stars, but never mind. We couldn't solve the problem by going back in time and changing their grades. The easiest thing to do is make sure that the new grading system is substantially different to the old one.
John, how can you guarantee now that this won't change again in 5 years' time, just as everyone starts to settle into this system?
The sheer amount of effort and will that it took to get this far, I think, suggests that it's unlikely to be replicated. But also, I think the system is genuinely better, and that's acknowledged by most of the people in the system. There are undoubtedly going to be teething troubles, but if you compare this with some of the qualification reforms that were done sort of half a decade or a decade ago, where there was no real indication that things were changing, this has been a strong, clear change that's absolutely manifest through the grading system. And I think that is a positive, and I think that it will endure because it works.